Glory, glory, glory. I said, glory, glory, glory. This is camp meeting week. You don't know what camp meeting is. You've got to be there. Amen. Was it camp meeting war? Stay in one place. That's not camp meeting. Camp meeting is derived from something born in the 19th century where believers will come together under a tent and they'll have meetings in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. So in the morning, they teach. The afternoon, and in the evening, the whole thing you can call Holy Ghost meeting, where you allow the Holy Spirit to be in demonstration. So in the morning, in the afternoon, and the evening, that's why it's called camp meeting. I cannot be again, from where we got our inspiration from, also used to hold those kind of meetings, but we got the meeting from him, in model, so what we do, same way, in the morning, we teach. In the afternoon, we teach. In the evening, we teach as well, but then we allow demonstrations of the Spirit. But also that changes, because sometimes both in the morning and in the afternoon, we have the same thing. So that's what's happening to us. So just like we have been teaching on the greater glory, I will now focus on camp meeting. Praise the Lord. Camp meeting. Look at Matthew 28, because many of us do not know how to receive in a meeting. You know, someone said, what is a meeting? Someone told me one time, said, why do you always call a program a meeting? Why don't they say in a program? A meeting means that we are the ones meeting. Praise the Lord. The believers together when we come. And so oftentimes, people do not know how to approach meeting. And listen carefully. Things are to be taught. Do you hear me? They are to do what? They are to do what? Taught. Explain. There's nothing about God that cannot be explained. Nothing. Anything about God that cannot be explained is not God. Praise the Lord. So, we have a meeting like that. So, how do I function effectively? Now, if you have been following the teaching on the greater glory, and Wednesday, so what's Wednesday again? Best of two worlds. You observe that I made some correction on you're going for a church meeting and you're looking forward to someone doing something than you getting blessed. That's okay. But then that's not the plan of God for his people. Are you following what I'm saying? So we need to know, how do I function effectively and properly? Now go to Matthew's Gospel 28 and I'll just share a few things. The first thing is I need to recognize and respect the importance of a place. Matthew's Gospel 28. Here's Jesus. Pay attention now. Matthew's Gospel 28. Jesus Christ. She says, Jesus, Matthew's Gospel 28. Remember this Bible? I struggled to look through it, but I'm getting there. Matthew's Gospel 28. All right, look at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee onto a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. In other words, where he chose. He picked a place where he chose. So you guys, you know what? You meet me here. Now the point is, why couldn't he just tell them what he wanted to tell them without them going to a place. Just go to a place where he had appointed for them. So, in other words, we do have special meetings. Special meetings. And those special meetings take place in a place. Sometimes I kind of shudder at those who believe that because of technology, you can stay at home and then watch the service. Now, we have been told to please put our services online. There's nothing wrong there. No. But I'm very slow. I don't know why. Well, there is no substitute for believers coming together in the place. There's no substitute. So, well, but then what about technology? Well, Paul, in his day, the technology of writing was a letter communication. Yet the letters did not take place, or take the place of their coming together in a place. So I know if we put ourselves online, Lord, you don't watch it. I know they don't watch it. But I'm too slow, God. I want people to go to church. You know what I mean? Because coming together is an important instruction in Scripture. You cannot find a serious Christian who doesn't go to church. He's not a serious Christian. You can't find a serious Christian who is not committed to the local assembly. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You know, all the letters in the epistle were written to churches. Even the ones that were directed to individuals were individuals within the church. And that's important. And it was not the church in the spirit. The church at, not the act. The place. At the spirit. At the spirit. It's not the church in Christ Jesus. What about that? No, the church at. So that's important. So he picks a place for them. There's a, what's this now? A place of appointment. They came there. But what happened? Verse 17. And they saw him. They worshiped him. Now, they didn't see him like, look at me. That means they had a revelation of him. This is Matthew summarizing Jesus' encounters with the 12, 11. They saw. In other words, it was not just an appointment, there was also revelation. I pray for you that Christ 2017 will be for you and I a place of revelation. A place of revelation. Hallelujah. Then the Bible says, from worship, place of honor, worship. Then when he was done with them, then he said to them, go into all the nations, all authorities given me in heaven, go there. In other words, it now became a place of finding purpose. He empowered them. He gave them a mandate. I remember Miles Monroe said this years ago, I will never forget. 92 was when I listened to what God said. He said, if you go to a conference and all you had was a nice time, then you wasted your time. He said, when you come for a conference, you should leave with a mandate. There must be something you will do after. That meeting will be for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. A place to discover your purpose tomorrow. place to receive mandate from God in the name of Jesus. Did you hear what I just said? That was the reason. So, as Jesus, he tells them to go to a place. Look at Luke 24. Just go to that place. Stay in the place. Luke's Gospel 24. Thank you, Lord. Verse 48. Luke 24:48. And you are witnesses of these things, he says. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He says, stay. In other words, again, Jesus picks a place. You people come together in this place. Why do you think that we don't all sit in our room and practice the faith? We all come to a place. Come to a place. So be a place. We come to a place. The tarry, specifically, in the city of Jerusalem. It is a tarry in the spirit. Then you'll be a Jew. No, it's a in the city of Jerusalem. And specifically, they were in the city. Tarry there. Stay there. Hallelujah. The things the Holy Spirit will tell you, go for that program. You wanna, I mean, the Holy Ghost is in you. How come you couldn't have said the same things or done the same things in your room? Everything has its purpose. He says, go to that place. Hallelujah. When Jesus was going to have the Mount of Transfiguration experience, he took the three to a place. Come with me. How come he didn't just do it for them in Mary and Martha's house? It could have happened there, but it's come to a place. Because one of the things going to a place does for you is create a sense of consecration and dedication. It's very, very important. And so that's why I want a lot of us, with this advent of technology, let's be careful. So we don't need technology to deprive ourselves of the benefit of the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I told a fellow one time, I said, United States Army, did they train their soldiers online? How about that? So we can do everything online, like training soldiers online. Come to a place. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Come to a place. Say it again, a place. Look at Acts 2. Acts 2, 1 to 4. So the church, the disciples, actually now stayed in a place. Before we go to Acts 2, put your hands in Acts 2. Let's go to Acts 1 first. In Acts 1, I'm going to read from verse 13. And when they were come in, look at them, start from 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, the Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. And they all continued where? In prayer, one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. So sometimes within them, they are Pentecost, they just were sitting down and watching the Chelsea game, sorry, watching the football game. And as they're doing that, then the Holy Ghost, the people with the Holy Ghost, you know, they actually act. You see that stuff? They were doing something. They were praying. They're not just saying, What you say you will do, I know you will do. Praise God. In other words, there was an attitude of expectation. An attitude that they had. I always warn those who, whenever we have a program or a special meeting, I warn those who do all those sound, light, security, you can be in that meeting and not be in that meeting. And all you're doing is, why are you finding? So you always have a mechanism to ensure that they receive from the meeting. That's why many people who officiate in programs can be very carnal. They'll just swear. What is that back there? Or is it? I don't want to say it's a meeting. Because they didn't see themselves as part of the meeting. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? Look at Acts 2 now, quickly. And when the, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, in other words, 6 a.m. in the morning, they were all with one accord, where? Where? In one place again. In one place. From the one place. Exactly. They were all with one accord in one place. Just one place. And there suddenly came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled what? All the house where they were. There was a place. Where they came. So you can't, you must never despise meeting. You must. You can't despise meeting. The day a Christian misses Christian meeting, he doesn't feel anyhow. Something is wrong. If either you are now growing so well, and where you were, you are not fitting in anymore, which I don't know what that means, but, or you have not told yourself the truth. A man in the Old Testament said, I was glad when he said, let us go into Solomon's, into a man's temple. I was glad. Some guys said, I was sad. Then it's everything. So if you also should know what I'm saying. Some guys come to church like this. Like they have time to go in and time to come out. So you're welcome to church. Thank you. Yes. And with our hands lifted high. Are you a supervisor? Okay, sister, can you sit down there? Yeah, young girl. I'm not serious. The same person. Doesn't you go for an interview. Be one small girl. I don't know if you came for the interview. Say, I'm here, man. Can you sit down there? Fill the form. You will write adult. So put your name properly and this out. I'm sorry, I think it's my friend. So we come to the meeting of our family where we ought to honor ourselves. So I say, do you know who is me? I am reverend. I just came to look around. Tell your pastor, man. You are the Godhead. Are you in church? In one place. Glory, glory, glory. Learn to respect Christian meeting. It's a place. If we meet in your house, the moment we come together, it ceases to be any other thing. But a place of appointment. A place of revelation. A place of worship. at the moment that happened. And you see, I remember years ago, I was reading a book by Brother Hagin. I want to say Brother Kenneth Hagin. Never said that before. What happened? Brother Hagin, the book Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. I read that book for information. Many of you know it. Once every 3 months. I've been doing it for 20 years, 21 years. Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. And then he began to talk about sticking to the purpose of meeting. People have asked me is it right to do skill development service in the church? I said it can't be wrong to teach people how to make soap, batik, how to cook. But the question is it in the world? Is not everything right that is scripture? Are you getting my point? Is it right for us to organize to bring someone in who will tell us about investment? It's not wrong. Maybe the question should be, is it scripture? It shouldn't be, is it right? Because when you say, is it right? You are putting me in a spot. The question is it scripture? Paul says, I introduce to you Joseph Chamberlain. He will be speaking to us for the next 40 minutes on how to sell. Okay, or Paul does a series on tent making. Then he says, Apostle Peter will do next week on fishing. These were professionals, but they never brought it into the service. Now, is it wrong to teach people how to fish? No. But that shouldn't be the question. The question is it the word? Are we together? The guy told me one time, he said, well, I believe the church should meet needs. He said, well, I get that. He said, well, Jesus multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish. So I asked him, do you multiply it? You go to buy your own. You buy 5 loaves. No. If you want to do what Jesus did, you will first of all multiply 5 loaves and 2 fish. Obviously, for him to multiply 5 loaves and 2 fish, that means they weren't going to the service carrying bread and fish. So that when people come, we give them. And they fed them 5 loaves and 2 fish, multiplied miraculously after they had listened to teaching for how many days? 3 days. So it wasn't that as you come to the service, collect your bread, take your fish. No. Praise God. No. Is it wrong to distribute loaves and fish in the service? No, that should not be the question. The question should be, is it scripturally right? I said, amen. So Brother Hagin talked about sticking to the purpose. And I saw a lot because Psalm 127 verse 1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build. It doesn't say you won't build it. You will build it. Because I told you that when it comes to serving the Lord and walking with God, there's nothing called success in walking with God. It's not called success. Because success is an earthly terminology. What you should say is obedience. Sometimes obedience will make you unsuccessful. Obeying the Spirit of God will make you unsuccessful. Amen. Come on. Are you in church? Come on, are you in church? Very good. So, now, let's quickly, just look at a couple of things we want to see quickly. So we ask ourselves, we said there must be a meeting. So,
Are all meetings the same in Scripture? No. Every meeting must have a scriptural purpose behind it. For example, if you want to organize a program anywhere, you ask yourself, what is this program called in Scripture? Women's Day. What have Women's Day? Okay? Under what banner do we call it in Scripture? Just like I say it oftentimes, we conduct wedding ceremonies, and I tell people that the reason why we conduct wedding ceremonies is for two purposes. It's basically because the people want to honor the church that they fellowship with. And secondly, we're just traditional. There is no scripture for a church service to conduct weddings. 1 Corinthians 4:4. People were getting married, but nobody ever got married in a service. I'm not annulling your wedding. You know, one of our pastors, when I said this, he said, yes sir, yes sir. But he was the same person that included church service in his wedding. When I was conducting it, I said, you see, you don't want me to come and do, I do. I do not. But the point is, what purpose does he have? So we must ask ourselves, what is the purpose in this service? There are different kinds of meetings. And many of us, in our minds, we have one kind of meeting in our head. Just one kind. You come to church, particularly you have this banner. Come into town. Reverend Zomo. The man with the bulldozer anointing from East Africa. You know, and they say, hey, say, if you are barren, you will conceive. If you have, might have to know, academic senior, simple suction without success. Near miracle syndrome. Setback. He knows those things. Keep telling me, do you have more? And he said, generational limitations. That's an African thing. And then what do you have? Stagnancy. So you begin to look at what is my own in the list. you know, as a younger Christian, when I saw those videos, I said, I don't fit into any of these things. You know, my mom is there back there, they are too. You are lucky. You met Jesus very early. She's a daughter of a bishop. Can you imagine? Who should have met Jesus? My mom. So, we say, you know, so that kind of meeting in our mind, say, what's happening? If you call a prayer meeting now, you say, what are we praying about? I say, revelation knowledge for believers in the church, missionaries, the life we preserve, the growth of the world. And you want me to come and do what? I want to go for a prayer meeting where they break barriers. They break business barriers, limitations to your destiny. You know. What's the point? So most of us have a kind of meeting in our mind. A meeting that is suited for an unbeliever. So let's look at the kind of meetings that exist. The first one, what we're going to look at, is an evangelistic meeting. What I call it? An evangelistic meeting is when we come together and the reason is to reach the unsaved. We reach the unsaved. For example, you discover that the Acts 2 meeting snowballed into an evangelistic meeting. In other words, verse 16 says, Peter lifted up his voice with the 11. Or verse 14. And then he began to share about Jesus. And he preached so that 3,000 people, are you still there? Are you there? 3,000 people in verse 41 were added to the church. That is evangelism. In other words, what happens in an evangelistic meeting is that people receive the gospel. Those who come together to receive in an evangelistic meeting are not believers. Are you still there? Did you also notice that in that evangelistic meeting, they did not call a comedian to attract them? In an evangelistic meeting, they did not call, they didn't bring a band to sing. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 8, we have another evangelistic meeting. Philip, verse 5, went down to Samaria to preach Christ. And he preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, sharing and seeing the miracles which he did. One of the things that accompanies evangelistic meetings will also be signs and wonders. Miracles. Signs and wonders and miracles. We do such kind of meetings in our ministry. We've been around some towns, you know, in cities and villages like that. I remember one, and the miracles attracted me. Remember one, there was someone who was paralyzed. In fact, when I saw her, the crusade ground, I think 2009 or 10, remind me guys. And she was, I thought it was a piece of cloth. Because I asked Pastor Lan, I said, who brought those cloth here? The pastor is not a cloth, that's a human being. And so as I began to pray, in the name of Jesus, the woman got up and ran. And other people deaf, blind. They got the blind saw, blind saw, and then lame walk. And they go, oh! And people came out, and then they accepted the gospel. In fact, I think there was another one where someone saw the poster, and she's paralyzed, she touched it. I think it was Bogila or something. Touched her, and then she got healed, and everybody heard about it. That's evangelistic. The miracles. In fact, there was one, the Oba of the town. Which one was that one? The Oba of the town, we had to go see. He's a Muslim. And I saw the hand of God, the power of God. That's an evangelistic meeting. That is not a meeting for believers. Are you following me? That is not a meaning for me. Miracles. It's in those meetings that demons are cast out. You won't find demons cast out in the believers meeting. Ah! Yahoo! Yahoo! Say, it's a church meeting. That's not a church meeting. That's a crusade ground.
Ah! Yeah! 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 Ooh!
Ooh! Ooh! No. And people have that kind of meeting in their mind. In fact, there are churches that are built on those kind of meetings. That is why believers there can never grow spiritually. And they can never do things for themselves. Because they are being fed what should be given to the unseen. Are you still there? Where is God? So we have evangelistic meetings. And when you have evangelistic meetings, you stick to the purpose. You stick to the purpose. I believe this year we'll have one or two more. We stopped for 2 or 3 years now just to get our structure right, but we'll only one or two. Some of you see what I'm saying. You see evangelistic meetings. In those meetings, you see some of your leaders, they look like, what do you call it? Is it Costco? They wear all the, because where by then you gather with people, you have to wear bandana. That's evangelistic. But people now see you in Lagos and say, ah, were you not the sister that said, that's evangelistic? Praise God. Alright, the second kind of meeting we have is a teaching meeting. A teaching meeting is the primary meeting of regular Sunday services or church services. That's how services ought to be. Church services. The regular one. Because you notice that by verse 42, the meeting moved from evangelistic. Look at verse 42. Let's take verse 42 together. Acts 2:42. Are you there?
Let's start from 41. Let's start from 41. Let's go. I'll wait for you. Let's go. Come on. Then they that had gladly received this word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So that's evangelistic, right? Now look at what happened after 42. Let's go. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. So what comes after evangelistic meeting? Teaching meeting. So when believers receive the gospel, when the unsaved receives the gospel and he is saved, the next thing is that he is now taught. That's a revelation of it. He is now taught. A couple of times I remember a preacher said this to me. He called me on the phone. He said, I'm having a problem with my church. I said, what's it? He said, we've done evangelism, but somehow we've not been able to disciple the people. And I said, I asked him a basic question. I said, how did you do the evangelism? He said, creative evangelism, which means they did all sorts of things, drama, entertainment. I said, you have to sustain that to people. But if you preach the gospel, they will grow when you now teach the gospel. So, the second kind of meeting is the teaching meeting. Or the teaching meeting. Go to Acts 5. Which is a regular church service. Teaching meeting. Acts 5. 42. One. Let's take it together. Acts 5, 42. Let's go. And daily, everybody, come on. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Go to Acts 20:20. Acts 20:20. Let's see a typical example of a church service in the book of Acts. Acts 20, before we get to verse 20, look at this. Acts 20. I'm going to start from verse 7. Let's start from verse 7. Let's go. Verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, who are disciples, they had believed the gospel. But something else, they were now being taught. So you notice the word disciples is all over the book of Acts, because the word disciple is not a follower. Follower. Disciple is someone who is being taught. Is the word mathetes in the Greek. It means someone who is being disciplined, or you can say a trainee. So they were being taught. They were trainees. They were being taught. So you can see we have moved from an evangelistic meeting. We have now moved to what? A teaching meeting, which is a typical church service. So let's continue. Come on, let's go. Let's take it again, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his preach until when? How about that? Not first service, second service, first service, like we do today. One service. Till midnight. I know the thing is, they were not under air conditioner. They were not being served tea breaks. Well, okay, let's go for tea break. Oh, God. Take tea break. Some people come to church service 2 hours. You carry dog and bread. You say, "You have to let I had very easily go so that I can concentrate." Let me just. You need to check your spiritual life. Something's wrong. Your focus is different. Praise God. Are you there? But you have to back and I can talk to you. Oh, this thing is wrong. What are you doing? You watch the ball. What's that? The commentaries of the half you watch, you watch it. They will now be analyzing the half you watch for you. Then you watch second half. Then when second half is extra time, you watch it. Then commentaries. Then when they are doing the play, you still watch it. And you don't sleep. The only person I've seen in my life sleep watching football is Pastor Lance. I said, and he comes to an Arsenal fan. How in the world?
You just say, you just wait and say, what's wrong with Beth now? You know, Pastor Jake is a pretending man, you fan. Why are you fanning your face? So he thought till midnight. To depart the morrow. Now follow this. Something that happened, which I want you to pay attention to. Eutychus now died. Not for 3 days. He sat on the window. That means that the whole thing was not convenient. You know, in their days, their own window is not, let me explain, though. It's not this kind of window. That's nice. Very high, very small. He sat there, hearing the word. No AC, not a chair. If you blame Ezekiel, and you struggle in a 2 hour service, God will judge you. So, Eutychus fell down dead. You know, in this day, praise the Lord, Eutychus now died. As Paul raised him from the dead, the service will just change. The miracle walking God. The miracle walking God. He raised Eutychus. He raised Dorcas. He's a miracle. I'm telling you, this anointing is with me. And then you begin to tell stories. Do you know that he raised Eutychus and the teaching continues? He didn't say, come and tell us what happened when you died. Brethren, I saw Jesus too. The devil was at his back. You don't know what happens to it. He just raised him and the service continued. That shows us we must speak to people. Even though, you know, I went for a program a few weeks back, and then there was a fellow who was there. He was there. And then as I began to minister, I ministered to him. And I said, no, you. And I told Pastor, I'm handling it. So the pastor asked me, he said, you didn't even make it an issue. I said, the purpose of the meeting was not to you. You got hurt. It wasn't you. So I just moved away from that. And I said, hallelujah! See something! Oh! Into the purpose. You because it was rain. What happened? Paul continue teaching. Look at verse 11. Let's take it together. And when he was therefore, come on, when he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread, and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day, Jesus, service part 6, and end 6. Look at verse 10. This is the teaching here. The regular church. Let's take it together, verse 20. Let's go. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, I showed you and taught you publicly, and from how. Where is it? It's not a teaching meeting. Another kind of meeting we find is a prayer meeting. A prayer meeting. Now, in an evangelistic meeting, what is our focus? What is our focus? In a teaching meeting, what's our focus? The believer. So that he's trained and taught what belongs to him in Christ. Who he is in Christ. What he has in Christ. What he can do. And who holds him in Christ. Jesus himself. Look at this. So the third meeting is a prayer service. Acts 4. In a prayer service, speak to prayer. You see, a prayer service, they will sing. You say, is this a singing service or a prayer service? Say, no, we are only singing warfare songs. Warfare songs. Yes, sir. Walls of Jericho fell down flat. The walls of Jericho fell down. And you are in Lagos. Are the children? I'm praising the Lord, the walls of Jericho. Brother! Where are the walls of Jericho in your life? They must fall to Jericho must fall. Hallelujah. That's not a prayer meeting.
Acts 4. Prayer meeting, you pray. Acts 4. In fact, there's some prayer meeting, there is more gist than prayer. Brethren, prayer meeting. You know, as I was coming this morning, I just listened to FM stereo, and a man shared his testimony in a prayer meeting. The man said that every time he was about to get a contract, something will just happen. Then the last one, he said, brethren, things are happening. As he was driving to go and get the contract, his car broke down. By the time the car was fixed, the man that was to sign it had left. By the Monday, they had sacked the man. That's an inspiration to pray. Then, what is happening to you in Australia? They have to say about Nigeria. As for. That's not a prayer meeting. That's a gist. A gist service. Acts 4, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. Look at verse 24. Let's say 24 together. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Hallelujah. And they prayed. Look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God in boldness. In a prayer meeting, what you should do is pray. Let's see one more. Acts 12 verse 5. And Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. The prayer meeting? Pray. Hallelujah. Pray. Don't see. Some folks don't even know in the prayer service. Yes? Let us pray the Pauline prayer. Let's pray for our pastor. Let's pray for ministers of the gospel. Tell your faith. Holy Ghost, you want to pray. There was a lady, she came to me in 1997. She said, let us pray for my dad. The dad was in a secret society. So I said, let us pray. So I expected her to tell me how we're going to pray. She held my hand. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father. I give you praise because of my dad. Because he's this and all that. I held her hand. I give you praise because he has received the word. I thank you, Father, because it's... When she was done, I said, Philip, can we pray? That was in prayer. We are confessing. We have no faith. It says, the answer is for nothing. But prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, is not his thanksgiving. With. You give thanks after you have. Check all the scriptures about prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing there. In everything. In what? In your prayer. Give thanks to God because this is the will of God for you in Christ. People always say, give thanks in all things, give thanks. He didn't say in all things, in everything. He was saying when you pray. Verse 17, verse 18 now says, you what? You give thanks. 1 Timothy 2:1. First of all, prayer, supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks. Notice, giving of thanks is always last. After you have prayed, you must pray first. Praise the Lord. As I praise the Lord. So we have a prayer meeting. What kind of meeting also can we have? We can also have a healing service. A healing service oftentimes will be
an overflow of an evangelistic service. But not all the time. A healing service. For example, Peter and John conducted a healing service at the beautiful gate. Acts 3, from verse 1 to 6. Acts 5, from verse 14 to 16. Peter also conducted a healing service on the sea. But then, can believers participate in healing services? Of course. Acts 9. Acts 9. Because the gifts of healing are in the church. Praise God. Say praise God. The gifts of healings are in the church. Acts 9. Is this Peter? Verse 32. And it came to pass, as Peter passed through all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydia, the saints. And there, among the saints, he found, verse 33, a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick all the past, a believer who had been sick for 8 years. And he said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he rose immediately. Have a healing service where we minister to the sick. Now the final one, and I'm going to zero in on this, is 1 Corinthians 14. We can have what is also referred to today as a believer's Holy Ghost meeting. A believer's Holy Ghost meeting. This is the highest kind of meeting among believers. Listen carefully now. You know, in an evangelistic service, someone is preaching to the Lord. In a teaching service, someone is teaching. In a healing service, oftentimes also, someone is laying hands on the sick. In a prayer service, we all are praying, no doubt. But in this kind of meeting, it's a bit different. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. A believer's Holy Ghost meeting. 1 Corinthians 14. Let's take it together now. 26. Let us say amen. 1 Corinthians 14, 26. Let's go. Everybody, let's go. How is it then, brethren, when you come together? Hold on. When what? When what? When what? Go on. Every one of you, glory, glory, glory. Every one of you, glory, glory, glory. Has what? A sound. Come on, go on. Has a doctrine. Has a tongue. Has a revelation. Has an interpretation. Let all things be done on the right path. That means in this kind of meetings, all believers participate. They don't come there to get healed. They don't come in there just to get taught. That's all it's going to be. You're coming there to have someone pray for you. No. You come in there to be a blessing to the church. Lift one hand and say, I'm a blessing. Come on, raise one hand and say, I'm a blessing to the body of Christ. Say, I'm a blessing to the body of Christ. Notice that. Every one of you. Who can tell me a kind of meeting like that in the book of Acts? Do you know that the very first meeting, Acts 2, 1 to 4, was a believer's meeting? The very first one. You know what? A believer's meeting. You know, he said, the Pentecost was fully come. They were all in one place. And there came a sound from heaven. His mighty rushing wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared cloven tongues like out of fire. And sat upon what? Each of them. Each. So say each of them. Each of them. And then Peter began to prophesy upon their life. Huh? No. And they all began to speak with other people as the Spirit gave them up. Did you observe that those people who came around said they were all doing something? In the Holy Ghost meeting, everyone participates. Are you following me? Are you following this? Everyone participates. Everybody. Look at Acts 13. In the Holy Ghost meeting, the gifts of what is most prominent in the Holy Ghost meeting are utterance gifts and revelation gifts. What is most prominent in an evangelistic service are what? Power gifts. Healing, working of miracles, and gifts of faith. But when you have believers meeting, alright, what is the most prominent will be the utterance gift and then the revelation gift. In that order. The utterance gift and the revelation gift. In other words, when you have believers come together like that, you have tongue, interpretation of tongue, thoughts, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, discernment of spirit, then the gift of healing can be in operation as well, and then the workings of miracles and the gift of faith. But what is more prominent in a believer's meeting like this will be the utterance gift and the revelation gift. Hallelujah. Are you there? Acts 13. You know, in a believer's meeting, you don't come to meet the man of God. Am I right? You come to participate. You come to do something. Praise the Lord. Acts 13. Glory, glory, glory. No. I believe in this thing. That believers' meeting will be on the increase in this one. In the name of Jesus. I pray for Nigeria. I'm a stickler to this one. I love this one. As a preacher and the doctor, I do. I'd rather preach in Nigeria than anywhere else in the world. And I see, and I believe, and I see that it's coming a time in the next 2 years where we're going to have more spirit-filled church, where the members are not coming because of needs. They're coming because they can minister to spirit. You know, and that will bring to end all this hireling called prophets already. It will bring to pass, the gentle end. Because believers will stand in their own. One thing about believers meeting is that it recognizes the believer in Christ. It's that meeting where you come to know yourself. The very first believers meeting I participated in my life was 1993. 1993 was my first believers meeting. I've never in my life imagined I could minister that way. And I began to speak in Lord's tongues. Before then, I used to lay hands on the sick. I began to speak in other tongues. And then my friend then, we used to call him Pope. He just said, go on. Go on. And you know, I just found this freedom of expression. Of expression. And as I left that meeting, one thing that dawned on me the most was I was a minister of the Lord. There's such an impact believers meeting is happening. Then you cannot back. So when people tell you, why are you going for that program? You say, well, don't say, well, me, I'm going to get healed. Well, I don't have a healing that I desire, but I want to get better. I want to be a better minister of the gospel. I want to be more accurate in the things of the spirit. Praise God. So camp meeting is a meeting like that. What kind of meeting is camp meeting? Camp meeting puts all this together. We have teaching services. We also have healing services in camp meeting. That's why it's special meeting. And we also have times we reach to the unsaved, even though it's not prominent in that meeting. And then we have Holy Ghost meeting, where believers, as they come, in whatever number, they will function in the things of the Spirit. Captain has been a testimony for many preachers of the gospel. There are many people today who are pastors. It's Captain that started that in their life. And I know that your life will never remain the same after character. I'm sure. Because you will come to your own. You will have a revelation of Jesus overwhelm your mind. The captain has all these things in place. Or, let me just share two things in your life. Wrap up. In camp meeting, there's a corporate flow of the Spirit that you must walk in, a corporate flow. That means what is available to everybody. How many of you were last year's camp meeting, the very first night? Remember? Come on, first night, let me see your hand. Very first night. Remember what happened the first night? Many people, we got people filled with the Holy Ghost by first time. Now you remember that? Remember that? By first time. That is, a first time, somebody who was coming for the first time, got people filled with the Holy Ghost. We had people minister with you. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Oh, God, those of us, I know, Sabbath, those of us, I know, peace. Great, go to Papa, go for peace. Then, no, 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 you won't need to press order. No, you won't. The longing of your heart will no longer be the longing of your heart. It will become a definite expression in your daily conduct. For that which you have sought to be accurate in the things of God and in the things of the Spirit will come to you without pressure. You will see and you will walk in the light thereof. And you will no longer have that eat and miss it experience in the things of the Spirit. You will be so accurate that men will call you a prophet. You will be so accurate, they will think you saw a vision. But you are just walking in the realm that is yours. You are just walking in the realm that is yours. For in camp meeting, we'll find clouds of glory that bring expression of the demonstrations of the Spirit in such a way that men will not just see it in there, but they will experience it afterwards. Therefore, let your mind be at rest. Let your mind be at rest. You have not wasted your years, say the Lord. No, you have not wasted your years. If it looks like a waste, it's not a waste. For every moment you spent in ignorance will be recovered back in knowledge. Every moment you spent in confusion, where you run hither and thither looking for answers and solutions to your call in ministry and to your purpose in life, they will be recovered one by one. And you will make the enemy a loser in more territories than ever. Praise God. Let's get back to what I said. So, camp meeting. Look at Numbers 11 quickly. Let me just share for people. In Numbers 11, a man by the name of Moses wanted to have 70 elders. Right? Pay attention now. And he told them, right? Numbers 11. And Moses told them, Numbers 11, he said, they will, verse 16, the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them into the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand with thee. Verse 17, Numbers 11. And I'll come down, and take with thee there, and take up the Spirit which is upon you, and put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, and thou shalt not bear it alone. Pay attention to this. Now Moses did exactly that, something that happened. Look at 25. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass, let's take the last one together, when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not see. That is, everybody did the same thing. Everybody prophesied and did not see. Everybody. Now look at what happened. Now here is Joshua. Joshua goes to tell Moses that, look, there are people who are not in the camp, but they are prophesying. My Lord, verse 28, forbid them. Let's take 29 together. And Moses said unto him, handest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets,
and that the Lord will put His Spirit upon you. Glory, glory, glory. This happened on the day of Pentecost. Everybody will function in the things of the Spirit together. It's happening, praise God. I said it's happening, praise God. I said it's happening, praise God. What you've never done in the gift of the Spirit, this year's camp meeting, you will do. You will lay hands on the sick, amen. You will speak the word of God in the way you've never done. Would God, everybody, is a prophet. In other words, He's saying to us that whatever you think was special, God wanted all of His people special. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know you can walk in the things of the Spirit. Everything. You can. You know you can. You know you can. Glory, glory. You know you can. You can raise the dead. Heal the sick. Open blind eyes. You know you can. You know you can. Praise God. You know you cast out devils. Heal the paralyzed. You know you can. You know you can. You know you can. Do you know you can? Woo! Glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Woo!
With God at all.
Woo!
On the day of Pentecost, they all. They all. Everybody. That is, in that room, you couldn't differentiate Peter and the rest. It's from the time like that. So, who's the pastor? Everybody's doing the same thing. Glory, glory, glory. There must be an anointed man of God. Said, well, seems like this is a church full of only pastors. Glory, 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 glory. And those kind of churches will multiply upon our nation in the name of the Lord Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. I said, glory, 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 glory. I said, glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 10. I'll skip that one. Let's skip that one. So now let's look at our attitude when we come together. What makes people not function in the things of the Spirit? I'll share my experience as well. I said a bit of it last week. The first thing that hinders people is sin consciousness. What did I call it? What did I call it? Sin consciousness. A sense of unworthiness. That is why a friend of yours will tell you, today, I have this problem. I have this pain. You've been going through that. Let me give you my pastor's number. Why did you give him your pastor's number? It's a sense of unworthiness. You felt you couldn't do it. Who said you couldn't? Who said you could? Hallelujah. I'm what he says I can do what he says I can do. Glory, glory, glory. You know you see visions? Seeing visions is not something that happens to you in the realm of the spirit. Hallelujah. You know you see visions? You receive visions? Say, I receive visions. Glory, glory. I see into the things of the Spirit clearly. Or come on, say like I said, clearly. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Worthiness consciousness. Worthiness consciousness. Can I do the work? Can I lay there? Can I lay there? Can I? My hand? Do you know who is me? Or who I am? Do you know what I've done before you? Yes, Peter. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. They said, you, we saw you in Saints Covenant. They said, me? Saints, where's that? Yeah, but where's that? Jesus. They said, I saw you. I saw you with Jesus. You were the one that gave me the bread. And you were the one that served me. I said,
life to life experience. I'm just coming to Jerusalem. In fact, I've not been here since I was born. I've been here before.
He began to curse. Peter was cursing, swearing.
Think if I ever knew Jesus, let me die in the time. Let my life perish. Let everything that happens to me be good.
And glory, glory, glory. That's it. And Jesus said, go tell your brethren and you know, Jesus called Peter, and we still don't know what he told him. He saw Peter fight. But if I don't know what he told him, I know how it sounds like. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up with the 11. I thought he would say, you all know me, because I've heard my story. The cock knew me. He just said, this man had not drunken as you suppose.
He never, you know, there's not a single story or the place of Peter's betrayal in any epistle. Or the book of Acts. Not one.
Did I refuse a sense of unworthiness? I am a child of God. I have what he says I have. And I can do what he says I can do. I can never be unworthy. I have been qualified. I am qualified to minister. I'm an able minister of a new covenant. Imagine Jesus is talking to his own people who have just denied him. Some of them ran away. He's correcting them. Why did you guys not believe I was raised from the dead?
Sorry, Master. I'm very sorry.
After everything I told you, I thought the next thing is, you know your name was impressed in the book of life. Your own. He just said, alright, go into all the world. Right? Immediately. So I said, Thomas, your own pastor is 60 days. Die.
No matter I will die.
He just corrected them and said, go! Glory. I'm not unworthy.
God doesn't wait for you to grow before he uses you. He will use you from the very first day.
Hallelujah.
If you can do that, what do you call that one?
How much of the Lord used me? Why are they using me? I am ready. Next year. No, I'm ready.
You are not serious. It's unworthiness that is disturbing you. As I told you, your eyes will remember your days in university.
Hey! Lord, you
remember? How many girlfriends you had in one hall?
Hey! Lord, you know, I can see. You remember how many boyfriends you had in one class? What do you do?
And what is desire? I have what is desire.
I can do what he says I can do. Second thing we say in this people. So you must have one. You must have a righteousness consciousness. Say, I am the righteousness of God. In Christ Jesus.
Let's sing that song. I am the righteousness of God in Christ.
Say, guilt has no power.
Guilt has no power for me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Guilt has no power over me. God has already accepted me. I'm His very own. God has already accepted me. I'm here.
Let's sing one more time.
I am the righteousness of God.
Fear
has no power over me. I am the righteousness.
righteous of God.
Fear has no power. God has already accepted me. I'm here. He's there. God has already accepted me. I'm here. Thank you. I'm what He says I am. And what He says I am. Every time you want to minister, and any thought comes to your mind, say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm as bold as Jesus is bold. I'm as bold as Jesus is bold. As He is, so am I in this world. Say, as He is, so am I in this world. Glory to His name. Number two reason why people don't participate in church meetings or in that way. Is strife. But it's strife. Strife makes it difficult for us to minister one to another. Let me say this. Do you know that your friends and family, people that you're very close to, they ought to minister to you. They ought to minister to you. But many times, familiarity, you know, and all sorts of things like strife, has hindered the glory of God in supernatural living. You don't know what? You know, the Pentecost is they were all in one place, in one accord. Everyone have their minds in the same. But the moment in the local church, somebody is fighting somebody, somebody is discussing somebody, it's going to hinder the things of the Spirit. Like I told you, it's not God that is being hindered. It's because we are the ones ministering the power of God. So the minute we don't honor one another, the power of God is powerful. Remember, Jesus goes to his hometown in Nazareth, and before, as he began to preach, they said, who is this guy? How old is he? There's some folks that was in their mind. How old is he? Is he? I knew him in university. I knew that one. Whose son is he? As he said that the Bible says they were offended. And he could do no miracle because they did not honor him. Let's learn to honor one another. If your husband, your cousin, your sibling, your friend, is a minister of the gospel. Honor the person that is. That's how you receive from the person. Because this is happening. He that receives a prophet in the name of a cousin will receive a cousin's reward. You must receive people in their offices and what God has called them to do. Your voice strike. Lastly, watch this. Add this to it. Always be in agreement with the gathering. When we pray, when it says stand up, don't sit down. That is a sign of discord. When it says, let's lift our hands. Those are instructions of the Spirit. Yeah. You must learn it. You must learn it. To be in one accord. When they say, oh, let's all pray in tongues. What's going on there? Already you have disconnected. You must be part of what's going on. That's why, personally, if I go with you to a meeting, you will not talk to me. You will not be using family. Because my life has been a product of attending meetings. My life. I'll share that story. In 1 Corinthians 11, I'm talking about. You know, Paul, after he had dealt with the church at Corinth over and over, and he told them that there was contention in their midst, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10 and 11,
In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3 and 4, he said that there were strife among them. There were factions. And that on its own hinders the things of the Spirit. If I told them in 1 Corinthians 11, that this is the reason why some die and some are weak. People felt like he was saying people are eating bread and they're not eating the bread well. They are dying. That's not what he said. That's not why they died. It's because they had no care one for another. That's why some are weak. That's why some die. So he told them to judge themselves and remove selfishness and self-centeredness in their midst. People have thought it meant when you don't eat bread. And I used to ask people questions. Who do you know that did not eat the bread well and is dead? Tell me someone in the body of Christ that you know. In fact, from Genesis to Revelation, show me someone. There's none. He was talking about care for one another. So bad. So he says that to them in Corinth, in chapter 6, he said they were taking themselves to court. But you can't just have to do this. Can't you sort things out among yourselves? No! Forget it. Don't let this little about it go. Let us go Tana. Are you well? We are spiritual about everything. We know who we are. And we know whose we are. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17. You learning something? Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Thank you. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 4, verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, 1 Corinthians 11, 17, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. He uses two words there, very critical, very important words. The first word he uses the word praising. K-R-E-I-S-S-O-N. Not for the better. Now, when that word Christian is used, it's in comparison. In other words, Paul expected that when you come together with believers, you ought to improve. Your Christian life ought to get better. Paul will call it edification. You must improve. So when you come together, I've seen that other than get better, some have gone worse. The word worse in the Greek also is the word eton, E-H-E-T-T-O-N, which means less of what you should have received. There are many folks who come to services meetings and they receive less. Why? The strife in your mind. In 1999, we organized a program called the Holy Ghost Service. I shared this oftentimes with leaders and workers who have been served here. And those who organized that program, 99 January, they were having, because they were organizers, so they were having problems among themselves. I was a pastor. And somehow things snowballed, but the program went on. So at the end of the program, they started to analyze the program and say, well, what happened? That the program was not like our meeting. That was going on there. We should pray about it. They were arguing among themselves. And I smiled. Yeah, there's something wrong. Something went wrong. There's something wrong with the spiritual atmosphere. And I was thinking, then someone who was invited, his name is Ben Gartiket, he passes in Abuja now. He was invited. He came. And he said to us, he had never seen the Holy Ghost move like that in his life. In the same place. In fact, a couple of years back, he wrote it on Facebook, and I showed our pastor, this is the guy I'm saying. He wrote, he said, this is where I received the call of God to ministry. The same place. It's on Facebook. I showed our pastor. So see, this is what I'm saying. He even said it's 98. I said it's not 98. It's 99. I know the date. No, it was not January. It's March 12th or 14th. I'll never forget. Because it was a year after actually the Bible to die. That's why, in fact, we organize it in commemoration. Don't mind it. So, you know, what was in your mind? I am a product of the meeting that I attended. In 1995, I went to a church meeting organized by believers' love world. I was a pastor in Ikorodu then. Pastor Chris had done a series, just like I'm doing today, preparing our heart about that topic. And I made up my mind that I was going to be there. I started fasting. I started praying. And so, I saved money, because those are the kind of things you do to save your prepared. I saved money to buy the tapes of the temple. Now, my friends told me that how can you go out on Easter for camping? So we had our normal battle by overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by smartness. I won't tell you what I did, some of you know it. I said that. But I couldn't go the first night because my dad made sure I didn't go anywhere. But on the second day, I found a way around. He didn't know I left the house. So in my heart, I was feeling bad. I missed the first night. But I kept praying and talked to God that this meeting will be memorable for me forever. And there I was going. So the bus that took me, because I didn't know the way, now dropped me at Semeboda, because I didn't know the place. So as I got there, I know Lagos, they say, ah, if you go like this, you go like this, and you go like this. So I stopped. The guy said, you have to take Okada. When he mentioned the amount, I know he was going to get, he was going to increase the amount of money that I had for the ticket. So I decided to walk. So I walked from the border to people. Do you know how many hours I did? And I was praying in front. I said, dear God, this is my meeting. In this meeting. And I began to speak. I didn't complain. Why would they make a, why do you have to come all this way? Is God that difficult? By saying those kind of things, you disconnect. It's going to be a glorious day. I'm going to have the time of my life. I'm going to have the time. I was still talking with the pastor I met in New York last month. Who was in that? Because he met me on the road that day. So I was walking. I got into the tent. I didn't know that last night they didn't hold the first night session, that they moved it to the next day. I didn't know. They just had welcome service and participation ministers all. So I was right on target. As I got in, that was the first session. As I got in, my bags were still with me. He said, there's someone here. That was the first thing he said as he got on the podium. There's someone here. He mentioned my fellowship name. You're a pastor. He said, come. I just got me. So I met a guy who was in, from Ghana. He said, he's talking about me. He said, drop that thing. No. I dropped my bag. As I ran forward, interestingly, I saw somebody else. I don't know how that came. Father, he said, no, it's you. I said, talk to you. So he laid hands and began to prophesy. He prophesied for a long time. Then Brother Pharaoh sang the song, Jesus, I love you. He said, by the Spirit I believe you, I will never forget. I stepped out of that time. Here today, because I'm ready. Hallelujah. I didn't go to the hill. I didn't go to solve any problem. I went there to solve a war in my pocket and in God's plan for my life. I pray for you that Carrie's camp meeting will be like that. That you will walk in the revelation of Jesus. I pray for you. Carrie's camp meeting will be that encounter for you. Your heart desire to see Jesus glorified, to see Jesus, all in the direct life will be met. You see, there is nobody that despises Christian meetings and gets anything well as a believer. You must prepare for it. I'll share another one with you. I'll say in this service, the second service. 2 years ago, was it 2 years ago last year? I traveled to Tulsa for Winter Bible Seminar. I go every year. I go to Catholic, then I attended the ministries. But this particular flight was very long, but I was so tired. So tired. So I left the airport, I said, let me go to the hotel, rest,
and make the evening service. I normally make the Monday service. Monday morning, where we pray, and then a couple of things. I said, I said to him, you know I'm tired. And God knows that. If I get to leave, I'm able to sleep. I was convincing myself I was going to sleep. After a while, I said, how can you travel for me? And the first thing we did was to come and say, let me go for this session. I took my bag, the broken arrow, the top, right in the lobby. Drop my bag. As I got there, Pastor Lynette said, as I just sat there, so the Lord said I should minister to a pastor in Nigeria. Just last year. That they were Nigerians. She wasn't Nigerian, she was a pastor. Yes, I'm okay. So it's going to be good. Now imagine if I had gone to the open room. To sleep the sleep of death. The morning part was, by the time I now finally got to the hotel, my heart did not work. So imagine, I would have gotten to the hotel, spoke, I won't be able to attend the session, and I'm here. I'm sensitive to the Spirit of God. My walk is planting. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost.